Praise the Lord. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Well, find your place in Psalm 128. That will be our text for today. Psalm 128. 128 Psalm. While you're finding your place there, I want to take just a moment. As I look out over the congregation, I see a lot of tired faces. And for reason to be, it's been a full week last week of vacation Bible school. But it sure was exciting, wasn't it? I tell you now, those young people never run out of energy. And I think I found my limit last week. Amen. It was a great time. Just to see the joy and the faces of the children was worth it all, wasn't it? And I want to take an opportunity to thank everyone that was a part of that. And I mean, it's a lot of folks involved behind the scenes and in front of the scenes making Vacation Bible School a special week that it was. I'm grateful for the work that God did in the hearts of the children. I'm thankful for the good time they had. I really am. It was obvious from the looks on their faces, from pictures and the excitement and the yelling and the jumping and the broken thumbs and, I mean, just all kinds of stuff going on, the skin, knees, and elbows. But, you know, I'm also thankful more than any of that, that God did a work in the hearts of the young people. So how can you be sure of that? Because God has promised that His Word would never return void. And those young people heard good Bible lessons every night. And I just pray that they would take those Bible lessons now and make them applicable to their lives. And I know that if they will, then good things will come from it. And so thank you, a special thank you to Pastor David and Meredith. They are kind of the brainchild, or should I say brainchild's children, behind the VBS. And so we appreciate that. We do. And so much help going into constructing things, from the captains, from the teachers, just a lot of work. But it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it. You know, I believe this, a church that will not invest in a few things. Number one, a church that will not invest in obedience to the Great Commission really has no reason to call themselves a church. A church that will not invest in the aged of its congregation, those that are in the aged state of their life, their widows, their widowers. The Word of God talks about it, how that it's pure religion and undefiled to take care of them. And a church that will not do that, well, they're missing it. They're missing where God's special blessing will be. And then a church that will not take care of its children, the young people that make up the congregation and even in the community. And I've been praying about ways that we as a congregation could get more involved in reaching the young people in our community through different outreach events, and we're working on some of those things. But even in other ways, I've been looking into and praying about some things. And so I'm grateful that I belong to a church and that I get to be the pastor of a church who has an emphasis on all of those things that I just mentioned. And I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful. And so I want to just say thank the Lord for His help. Thank the Lord for His vision. And thank the Lord for the strength that He gives us to carry out that ministry. Psalm 128. Are you there? The 128th Psalm. Someone has said that the 127th and the 128th Psalm are twin psalms about the family, the home, in particular the father. Before I read the scripture, I want to share something with you that challenged my heart. I've been praying about whether I should do this or not, but it so challenged me. I know that our country is in trouble. I realize that. Our country's in trouble. And there's a lot of mottos that float around on how we can get our country back to this or up to that or in this direction. Brethren, there is a foundation that our country was founded on. And until we get back to the foundation, our country's not going to be what God intended this country to be when it was founded. One of the things that we need to get back to is we need to get back to men And I'm saying us, we men, we fathers, of accepting the responsibility that God gave us as men and fathers. You will not have a strong country without strong men. Now, I want to make this very clear. I am very, very grateful for ladies. I'm so thankful for you, for what God has given when he gave you. Young people, you have a place, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for our young people, our ladies. But gentlemen, I'm telling you, our country needs us. Our country needs some good, strong men that will lead and accept the role and the duty that God has given us. Quit shirking our responsibility and quit running away from the responsibility that God has given us to lead in our homes, to lead in our society, to lead the way and accept what God has given us to do. There has been a study done in past civilizations on what caused those civilizations to crumble. And I'm not going to read them all. Those in what we call institutions of higher learning have done these studies of the decline of ancient civilizations, and they all had some things in common. I'll read you just a few of them. The number one on the list is when men cease to lead their families in worship. When a people turn away from God, there's nowhere to go but down from there. And whether we want to admit this or not, and I'm not a prophet of doom, I'm just stating some facts here. Our country has turned away from God. I don't want you placing your hope in a party. Listen, you vote your conscience, you vote your conviction, you do your homework, but please don't think that a Republican Party is going to deliver us from the mess that we're in. An independent party, a Democratic Party, listen, that's not what's going to do it. And so when men cease to lead their families in worship was number one on the list. I didn't do this study, okay? I researched it. Number two, when men selfishly neglect the care of their wives and children to pursue material wealth, political, military power, or cultural development. And I think we're seeing that in a huge way today. Men shirking their responsibility. Men being preoccupied with business, neglecting their wives in every way to become involved in things that are just nonsense and unnecessary. Entertainment is ruling our world. Men have become more involved and more concerned about entertainment than responsibility. And there's so much more here that I could share with you. And I'm not saying that you're that way, men. Actually, I've started this service off by saying thank you. Thank you for being good, godly men. Be a leader. Be strong. Finish your course. Finish the race. We don't need dropout dads. Our country has enough of that. We don't need part-time dads and no-show dads. We need some men of valor, of integrity, of faith, of strength. We need men like you. And I want to challenge you today to stay in the fight. Stay strong. Don't let culture and the society around you cause you to weaken your stance and your position. Don't think you're going to help those that are weaker by becoming weaker with them. Stay strong. Set the example. Keep your eye on the goal. And keep your eyes on the person that can help you and I to keep the goal and to finish the course. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. I read some statistics that I want to share with you before I get into Psalm 128. And then I have a few thoughts that I want to share with you, men, that we would just stay the course and keep our priorities straight. Accept the responsibility. Listen, I've always liked a good challenge. Now, many of you know my story. I was not raised in the best environment. And many of you may not have been either, but perhaps you were. And while I did not have the best environment, I'm going to tell you something that God put in my heart as a young man. I love a good challenge. As a matter of fact, I'm finding that most of the men that I meet that are worth their salt love a good challenge. You love a good challenge, men? I love a good challenge. I am not afraid of a challenge. I'm not afraid of responsibility. I'm not afraid of someone holding a standard before me and saying, go for it. How about you? I know I have work to do. I know that I have weaknesses. I realize that I cannot do this thing called life and parenting and being a good husband and being a good pastor and being a good servant of God. I cannot do it without God's help. Amen. I realize that. I humble myself before the Lord. God, help me be all that I should and could be. God has some great potential locked in you, men. Young men, God has some great potential locked in you. Don't miss it now. Don't miss it for this world. Don't miss it for your way. Go God's way. Don't miss it for some lower way, some less responsible way. Don't do that. Accept the challenge. Rise up. Don't look for the easy way. Find the right way and get in it. Amen? Amen? We have a group of people that's always looking for the easy way. Now, I'm not suggesting that we ought to make everything hard, but I am saying that as men of God, men of faith, we ought to look for the right way, not the easy way. I'm not looking for the easy way in this life. I'm looking for God's way. Amen. I want to find God's way, get in it, stay in it, and do it. And I believe you do too. Why do you want to do that, preacher? Well, there's a number of reasons, but I want to give you just a few that I found this week. It stunned me. In America. So, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to accept these. Well, go home and do the research yourself, because it'll stun you. In America, 100,000 plus of our juvenile children, that's 18 and below, are in prison. Our brother spoke of a prison ministry. There is a great need for a prison ministry of any age, but our children are going to prison, juvenile detention centers and prisons. No father in the home. No standard. No challenge. No discipline. No training. Of children in America grow up in what's called a broken home. 50%. 5.5 million adolescent, 14 to 18, didn't go below that, say that they have drank alcohol. 1 million of them say they drink it repeatedly and now have a craving for it, an addiction. 1 million adolescent children. 12 million minors are infected with STDs. 5,000 new cases every day. 1 million young girls, the ages of 12 to 17, will get pregnant this year. Somebody's dropped the ball. 1.5 million young people under 17 contemplate or attempt suicide. That shocked me. 2,000 of them succeed. The third leading cause of death in our country for young people ages 14 to 17 is suicide. I could go on and tell you the number of young people that are seeking psychiatric, young people, children. I was telling my Sunday school class, hey, I had a little bit of an unstable childhood, but I never thought about taking my life. I never had to go for psychiatric counseling and behavior counseling, though I probably should have on occasion. I probably had some people wanting to sign me up. And I'm not making light of that. I'm just telling you, our country is in a mess. Our young people, they're looking for some answers. There's drug addiction on every hand. We have our young people medicated. It's just boggles my mind. When I was a kid, Listen, and some of you remember this. We just rode around bicycles all over the neighborhood. Parents looked after each other's kids. There was just an understanding. And now we have fools and devils riding up and down the road, abducting them, abducting our children, trafficking them in human and child trafficking, selling and prostituting their bodies. I'm telling you, brethren, it's sick. It's sick. So why are you sharing that on Father's Day? I think somebody's dropped the baton. That's why. I think someone has forgotten there's a responsibility that we all bear. So, well, I've raised my kids, preacher. Why don't you be an example for somebody else that is? Amen? Let's be men of honor. Let's not shirk our responsibility. Let's step up and say, I'm going to live my life so it'll benefit others. I'm not going to live my life just for me. I'm not going to get so turned in on what does life have for me. I don't want to make life just about me. It is eating up our country. This selfish spirit, this me first, is eating up our country, and it's slipping into our churches. And now we have church splits over, I didn't get my way. I wanted blue carpet, and they got green. I quit. That's what's going on today. It's silly. This is silly. It's childish. And it's going on today. Let me preach the word to you. What are we going to do about it? You say, preacher, what can I do about it? You drive up the road here about 100 miles, and it's a mess. I don't care who's in office. It's a mess, brethren. It's a mess. What can I do to change it? Well, Psalm 28 will tell you. You can drop right on down into verse number 5 and 6, and you'll find where the Bible says that if a man will take his place that God has given, he can affect his city, he can affect his state, and he can affect his country. Now, he did it. He said, look at it now, Psalm 128. He said, the Lord, verse number 5, the Lord bless thee out of Zion. The Lord bless thee out of Zion. And then he said, thou shalt see the good of what? Jerusalem, all the days. Listen, Dad, let us get our priorities straight. Let us begin with us, and it will begin to take care of others. Out of Zion, out of Jerusalem, and then the whole country. Look at what he said, the last part of verse number 6, and peace upon Israel. So please don't you buy into this now. Well, you know, I can just affect, you know, my foreign no more. It's just us. My sphere of influence is limited. And what can my life and how can my way of living and how can my faith and how can my integrity and my fulfilling my responsibility, how's that going to impact anybody? Well, the psalmist said it will. God said it will. But now what do we got to do? Stand with me and let's read this 128th Psalm. And I'll give you just a few things that I want to say that I hope will make your Father's Day this day and every day a happy Father's Day, okay? A happy Father's Day. Because the Bible says if you'll do what this psalm says. Now, I want you to get this. This has become one of my favorite phrases in all the Scripture. I'm going to do a study on this. I love that phrase in Psalm 23 where David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And here's the phrase, all the days of my life. What a phrase. What a phrase. I need a promise for all the days of my life. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. There's your good promise for all the days of your life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You want something else that'll help you all the days of your life? Look at Psalm 128. Look at it. Look at verse number 5. He said, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem. How long, brethren? All the days of thy life. I'm telling you, there's some promises from God that can affect all the days of our life. But now there's some things, there's some criteria that needs to be met. And I'm glad that God gives it in his book. Amen. And so I want to give you something this morning that will bless you all the days of your life. Psalm 128, the Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. And thou Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. That sounds like a good deal to me. Amen. It sounds good. I like the prospect of that. Look at verse number 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. That's that, listen, that's that place where the presence of God is. And God's presence will be made known to us when we begin to apply these things to our life. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. Listen, you can live in such a way, Dad, that it'll affect your grandchildren. Amen. So, well, I've raised my children. Well, be an example to them and their children. Right? Verse 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon your nation. That's Israel. You want to see peace in America? You want to see America make a turn? God said, give me some men. Give me some men that'll fear me, that'll reverence me, that'll live. Look at the last part there. It says in verse number 1, that'll walk in my ways. Give me some men that'll do that, and you'll start seeing a turn. Father, help us, I pray, in these moments that we have together. I want to thank you for the fathers that are made up right here, that make up this congregation. God, good men. And I thank you for them. God, help us now not to let our guard down. Help us to man our post, to stand firm in this day of compromise, to stand firm in this day when everyone else is turning and quitting. God, help me, help us to stand, and having done all, to stand in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. Now, the first thing I want to bring to your attention is that before God gets down there in verse number 5 and 6, the psalmist leading him to write this, God leading this psalmist, he says, yes, I'm going to talk to you about Zion, and I'm going to talk to you about Jerusalem, and I'm going to talk to you about Israel. He said, but first I want to talk to you about you. He said, because you, listen, if you're going to impact others, you've got to get you right. And so he said, here's what you need to do. He said, you want to be blessed? You see that word blessed in verse number 1? That word is used 4 times in this psalm. It's used in verse 1, blessed. It's also used in verse 2, the word happy, because that's what it means. He says, happy shalt thou be. You see that in verse number 2? Look at verse number 4. Behold, that thus shall the man be what? Blessed. And then in verse number 5, the Lord shall bless. So he said, I want to tell you how you can be blessed. I want to tell you how you can be happy. In a world that's gone mad, in a world that's spiraling out of control, in a world where people are miserable and they're searching for joy and they're searching for something beyond what they possess, God said, let me tell you how you can be blessed, how you can be happy. And he said, here it is. He said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Now, I believe that this could be taken all inclusively by speaking literally of everyone, man, woman, boy, and girl. But because of the content and because of the context in which this text is taken, it's referring to the father. It's referring to the man. Because he refers to this individual that's it's going to be blessed of the Lord. In verse number 3, he said, thy wife. And then in verse number 3, he also said, thy children, right in the middle of it, you see? And so he said, now dads, listen to me. You that are the husband of a wife, you that are the father of your children, he said, listen to me. He said, if you will fear the Lord. Now, this is not talking about fearing by being afraid and shaking and quaking and saying, oh, God scares me. I better hide under a chair or hide under the bed. This is talking about a reverential respect, an awe for God. You just standing in awe of who God is, of what God has done for you. Can I ask you a question this morning, gentlemen? Do we still stand in awe of God? Remember when you first got saved? How you were just in awe of what God was doing in your life. You were just in awe of the change that Jesus brought, of the power that God had given you over sin, and that sin no longer had dominion over you. You remember those days? Are you still standing in awe of God? Can we still stay with the Apostle Paul? Now listen. He said, I'm going to bless you now. And he said, you will be blessed. Now I believe this. I don't even know that he's saying you'll have to ask me for my blessing. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You fear me, you're going to realize how blessed you are. Amen? Amen? You reverence me. You make me your priority. You put God first. You seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and then you'll begin. It's like God will remove the scales from your eyes, and you'll remember how blessed you are. You blessed? I'm blessed, brethren. Amen. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, been thinking all week, God has been mighty good to me. God been good to you? Is he? Amen. God's always good. That's all God knows how to be. The question is, do we realize how good God is? God's good. And he said, I want you to know that you'll be blessed. And he said, everyone. You say, well, that's just for the preachers, isn't it? No. Well, isn't that just for the deacons? No. Well, isn't that just for those that are this way and that? No. Blessed is everyone. All you fathers, listen. He said, your wife is this way, your children. He said, if you will reverence me, you will realize how blessed you are. I'm blessed of God. And if you reverence God, you're blessed of him too. Now, he says this. Paul put it this way. And I want to ask you a question. You ready for a test? You say, I didn't want a test. I was told there'd be no test at church this Sunday. Well, there's going to be a test today. You ready for the test? Are you ready? I want to ask you a question. The way you answer this question, now don't answer it out loud. Don't answer this question out loud. But the way we all answer this question, this is not just for the men. This is not just for the fathers. We're going to get the mothers. Y'all want to help us out, moms? You want to help us out, kids? You want to help us out, children? All right, here we go. Listen up. Listen. We're going to take a test. Paul said, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Philippians chapter 1, he said, for to me to live is, I'm going to leave this blank. You know what it means. If you're even a casual Bible reader, you know what he said. But I want to ask you what you would put in that blank. For to me to live, Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is, what would you fill in right there? You see, you say, well, I think I reverence the Lord. I think I honor and revere and stand in awe of the Lord. I think that I do. Well, let me ask you, how are you going to answer that question? How are you going to fill in that blank? For to me to live is money? For to me to live is power? For to me to live is prestige, position. Is that the way you'd feel it? I don't think so. I know the men of this church. I would hope not now. Nobody, anyone here, I would hope not. Even those that are joined by live stream, I would hope that you have more to live for, that you would consider that your life is more than just money. Our lives consist more of food and raiment, right? Isn't that what our Lord taught us, brethren? And so for to me to live is, the Apostle Paul said, Christ. For to me to live is Christ. That's where it's at. Christ. You see, when we reverence the Lord, that's what our answer will be. Nothing else. For to me to live is Christ. You know, one day we're going to come to the end of life. We are. And we want to say with Paul, and to die is gain. But the only way you can fill in that last blank with gain is to fill in the first one with Christ. It's the only way. If you put anything else in that blank, for to me to live is, you can put anything else in there, but if you do not put Christ, you will not view dying as gain. It's only when we realize that the only thing that matters in this life is what we've done for Christ. That's really what's going to matter at the end of life. Not how many friends you have on Facebook or how much money you have in your bank account or any accomplishments in life. And I'm not opposed to any of those things. I'm not opposed to any of those things. I'm just saying don't let that be what drives you. And here he said in Psalm 128, he said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Do you reverence the Lord? Do you? If you do, you're a blessed man. You're a blessed man. Reverence the Lord. Reverence him. Then he said in verse number 1, he said, not only that, it's not just about the love you have, because that is what reverence comes out of love. He said, but it's the life that you live. Notice what he said here. And that walketh in his ways. Is that your life? Does that sum up your life? Is my life summed up by, now there's a man that walks in the ways of the Lord. That man's life is summed up. He's walking in the ways of the Lord. Not perfect, by no means. But his goal, his aim, is to walk in the ways of the Lord. Is that your goal? Is that your aim? I believe it is for the blessed man. Don't you? I believe it is for the man that honors and fears and reverences the Lord. If we reverence him, we want to honor him. And to honor him, we obey him by walking in his ways. You know, good godly fathers walk in the ways of the Lord, don't they, brethren? That Vacation Bible School catching up with you? Don't they? Good godly men walk in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of obedience. Now listen, when it says, notice it again, that walketh in his ways, that's not talking about the man's ways. Oh, there's a lot that can walk in their own way. But the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Those are not the ways you want and I want to walk in. I'm seeking to walk in the Lord's ways, and I pray that you will too. So give attention to your faith. All right? Give attention to your faith. Walk in the Lord's ways. Right? Reverence the Lord. And then he went on to say in verse number 2, he said, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So here's three things. Did you get it? Number one, love. Reverence the Lord. Stand in awe. Love him. Honor him. Number two, your life. Walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. Give attention to your walk. Give attention to your faith. Put God first in your life, and you'll be that blessed man. And then your labor, he said in verse number 2, he said, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. Thank God for men that understand work is not bad. You know, got a bunch of folks running around saying, you know, I'll be glad when this AI takes over, I'm going to get my check from Elon. Listen, what in the world kind of mentality is that? We need to work. There's nothing wrong with work. God's for work. Some of you looking saying, you mean Elon's giving out checks? I didn't know Elon was giving out checks. Well, they say that's what he's going to do when his AI takes over everything. I don't know. I tell you what a crazy world we live in. I'm glad I have this as my guide. I'm so thankful for God's word. Listen, this is my news right here. That's right. So give attention to your faith now. All right? Reverence the Lord. Love him. Live in his ways. Live for him. Walk in his ways. Labor. Man doesn't provide for his home. He's worse than an infidel. Isn't that what the word of God says? Is that it, brethren? Now, by the way, just in case you think, well, you know, I have you to know I work 60 hours a week. I provide for my family. What kind of spiritual leadership are you providing? Let me just change that. What kind of leadership are you providing, period? You know, bringing home a check's not leadership. That's provision. Don't get it confused. God's looking for us men for leadership. Lead your family. Lead your family. Be a good leader. Be the head of your home. Amen? So, well, me and my wife are both heads. Can I tell you, listen, anything without a head is dead, and anything with two heads is a freak. God made the head of the family the husband. Lead your home, sir. That's the responsibility that God gave us. And we'll talk more about that tonight. So, well, good, I'll make a point not to be here. Well, you're going to miss it. All right, give attention to your faith. Number two, give attention to your family. Have you ever noticed the imagery that God gives here? It says a man that will fear the Lord. You with me now? A man that will fear the Lord. He's going to be blessed. And one of the ways he's going to be blessed, look at verse number 3, is that thy wife shall be as a faithful vine by the sides of thine house. On this Father's Day, can I ask you, men, that one that helped make you a father, that lady that you call your wife, that lady that you call your companion, how does that look to you? Well, you know, preacher, I just don't know. Well, now, wait a minute now. The Bible clearly teaches that she's a reflection of what you made her. Amen. She's a reflection of you. That's right. You all believe that. Well, the Bible says that, you know, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know who we should be a reflection of? Jesus. Right? We're the bride. He's the bridegroom. We should be a reflection of who he is. And so my bride should be a reflection of me. And so if you got some problems with her, you might want to look in the mirror. That's right. And he said, now if you want to be blessed and you'll fear God, you'll love God, and you'll live for him and walk in his ways, and you'll labor the way God called you to labor, he said, thy wife, he said, here's going to be a result of it. He said, if you'll put your faith first now, dads, please listen to me. We want to become better, right? You want to be better? Yeah. Right? Good wife, good life. Here he is, verse number 3. He said, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of thine house. Now, why did the psalmist use this imagery? What's this mean? You know, if we're not careful, we'll just read by something like that and think, oh, okay. Well, wait a minute. God put that there for a reason. What is God telling me? God is using imagery, especially in this time and in this region, but even in today. We know what it is to have vines grow up on a house. And he said that thy wife, read it again with me, shall be as a fruitful vine by the size of thine house. What is the psalmist saying? What imagery is he bringing to our minds to get us to see the life of the blessed man? How we can be happy fathers and dads and husbands. So our wives will be this right here. Let me read you some things about a vine. First of all, a vine clings. A vine puts its tendrils and wraps itself around wherever it's growing. It clings. You know, the Bible does teach that for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And his wife, listen, ought to cleave to him. You ought to cleave to your husband. Men, you ought to cleave to your wife. Amen. Cleave to her. Vines cling to things, don't they? You ever try to pull vines off the side of your house? I just did this recently. I'm telling you, it's work. It's work. Because vines cling to whatever it's growing to. And this is saying that that's what a wife will do. She'll cling. She'll strengthen him to her husband. And her husband should support him. You know what else vines do? They grow up toward the sun. They do. They grow upward and outward. And they, when they're adequately supported, when they become mature, their roots go deep and their branches go wide. And they begin to grow until they cover whatever they're growing on, and it becomes a thing of beauty. It does. A thing of beauty. You know, a wife of a loving husband is a thing of beauty. Isn't she? Man, I tell you right now, you men must be asleep. I gave you an opportunity of a lifetime. You should have been standing on your feet cheering, clapping. I wouldn't even mind you whistling in church this morning on that one. Hey, if you have a good wife, I sure hope you get on your knees regularly and say, God, thank you. Grab your wife's hand and just tell her, honey, I want to thank you for being a good wife. Thank you for being the vine of my life. You say, is that a compliment? Well, it is now. And I'm giving you permission to use it. Hey, that's what it's saying. It's saying that a vine clings. She's not looking to grow wild somewhere. She's clinging to the house of her husband. She's clinging to the husband, the children. She's making it beautiful. You know, a good godly wife makes her family the beauty of it all. She just does. And that's what he's saying. Let's look at it one more time. He said, the wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Dads, appreciate your wives. Appreciate them. Love them. Then he said this in verse number 3. He said, thy children are like olive plants. Not vines now. Not vines. Olive plants. Olive plants are very interesting. Again, I'm not going to go into great detail here, but it says here that the children are like olive plants, and it says that children are not a burden. They're a blessing. You know, you listen to some parents, it's almost like they're cursed with children. I wasn't cursed with children. I was blessed with children. Children are not a burden to me. They're a blessing. I tell you, I sit over there all week, and I watch those children run and jump and cheer and the smile and the joy on their faces. And there were times in my heart I was just weeping. God, thank you. Thank you. God, make indelible impressions on the hearts and the minds of these young people that they'll remember this good, positive experience about God and church. They'll remember it all the days of their life. They're going to have enough of negativity to try to fill their minds. Let us, as God-fearing, God-believing Christians, let us provide some good, positive memories that they can hold to. And I'm thankful for that. And he said, Dad, he said, listen, your children are going to be like, now, if you'll put God first, if you'll strengthen your faith, if you'll be that good leader, if you'll be that dad that honors the Lord and fears the Lord and walks in his way, you know, abides in his way and obeys his commandments, if you'll be that dad, he said, your children's going to be like the olive plant. Look at it there in verse number 3. They're going to be like little olive plants right around your table. An olive plant, it takes it a while before it begins to grow. You know anything about an olive plant? I learned some things when I began to study this. It takes an olive plant a while to grow. First couple of years, it might be a few berries, but before it really begins to bear some fruit, it takes it a while. Sometimes up to 7 to 10 years. Isn't that amazing that the psalmist used that imagery? You know, those young years up to 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I mean, they are delicate, aren't they? They're delicate. You've got to be careful with those little tender plants. You do. And you have to be careful what you expose them to. There's so much evil and wickedness, and we have to be careful. You have to protect your children from maybe even things. Notice what it said here around the table. I think that the psalmist has some things in mind here around thy table. You be careful what you discuss in front of your children around your table. Amen. You protect your children from slander and criticism and negative talk. It's important. You protect your children from negative talk or name calling or fault finding. Don't cause them to be that. But if they hear you do it, Dad, if they hear you do it, they're going to think it's okay to do it. And you don't want that passed on to your children now. So he said, now they're little tender plants. They're sucking up water. They're sucking up soil and nutrients from as their roots go deep in ground when they're young and impressionable. They're taking in everything. They're like little sponges, aren't they, brethren? They're like little sponges. And we have to be careful. Now, we've all made mistakes here, but that doesn't mean that we have to be okay with it and continue to do it. Amen. Somebody today needs to say, God, help me change some things that I'm doing in my home as far as conversation, as far as programming, as far as things we listen to or things we watch. God, I want to remove these evil and negative influences from my children. They're young and impressionable, and I want to protect them. It's my place as a good godly father to do that, all right? And so you be careful. Now, the thing I found out about an olive plant, and I'm going to move on and close. The thing I found out about an olive plant that really impressed me is once an olive plant begins berries and then it begins to produce fruit, listen carefully, it produces fruit for hundreds of years. Isn't that something? God knew what plant he wanted to relate and refer to these young children. Can I tell you, if you'll do it right now, if you'll do it by the book, your children will be blessing to your life all the days of your life and then some. Reverence the Lord. Reverence him, dads. I'm calling on you. Reverence him. God's calling on you. Walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. Love him. Live for him. Labor. Love your wife. Teach your sons how to love their wife by the way you love their mother. Amen, men?
Amen.
Yeah. Your sons ought to see how to love their wife-to-be by the way they watch their dad love their mother. And your daughters ought to see from you, Dad, how they can expect to be treated by their husband by the way that you treat your wife, their mother. It's very important. It's very important. And so he says in verse number 4, he said, behold, that thus shall be the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Your wife's going to be a certain way. Your children's going to be a certain way. Your home's going to be a certain way. It's going to be a great way because of what God said. Not the preacher, but what God said. And then he said, it goes out beyond that, and I've already mentioned this. He said it goes in verse number 5. He said, you'll be blessed out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. You want a better country? Say, I'm going to be a better. I'm going to
vote my conscience.
Well, you vote your conscience. You ought to. It's your civic duty. Vote. But God help us not to think that voting alone is going to change everything. We need to be changed. We need some good godly men, some good godly fathers like a representative right here. Stay the course. Stay the course. Don't back down and let up. Stay the course. And tweak a few things. I think we all need tweaking, right? Every now and then a car needs to be tuned up. I wonder if you need to be tuned up a little bit. I wonder if there's a few things that need to be tweaked in your life that's kind of gotten out of kilter. Maybe you've lost that reverence and respect in some areas and you need to regain it. Maybe you begin to walk outside of His ways and you're doing it your way and you need to get back on the right path. Maybe you've begun to get a little careless in your labor and your work and you thought, well, I'm working, this is my money. No, everything you have, you've received of the Lord. You are a steward of everything God's given you, and God's going to hold all of us accountable for what He gives us in life. Be a good steward so that when we stand before Him one day, we can hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All right? I want you to have a happy Father's Day. You say, it's already been a good one. Pastor, good. Good. You're very important, men. You're very important. I know you've noticed this. Let's stand to our feet. Now, I'm not much on television, okay? I have a TV and I watch TV, and so don't you know, brand me any way you want to brand me. I have a TV and I watch TV. I'm not much on it, but I do watch it from time to time. And one of the things that just sickens me to the core is all of these programs have aimed their big guns toward the man, the father, especially if he is, in their eyes, religious. He's a goon and a goof, and he can't even get out of his own way on most of these programs. You know why? Because they're undermining society, and they're trying to undermine us. And there is an all-out effort of our enemy against us to try to remove us. Because our enemy knows. He knows all the way back from the days in the garden when he bypassed the man and went to the woman and heaped damn condemnation on mankind. And he's still at it. And he's trying to get you out of the way, sir. He's trying to get me out of the way. He's trying to get us to shirk our responsibility and to think that we don't matter. And the way I live doesn't matter. It matters a lot how I live. It matters a lot how you live. Not just in our family, but in our community, in our church, in our country, in our world. Would you bow your head with me? On this Father's Day, we think about, well, you know, I want it to be a happy Father's Day. What would that look like? Would it look like, well, if I got a gift or if I got a call from my children, well, that certainly will make a person happy, make a dad happy, wouldn't it? Some of you here today with your dad, I know that made dad happy. God bless you for it. Some of you called up your dad this morning and said, Dad, I love you. Happy Father's Day. You sent him a text. I know that made dad happy. Some of you gave him a little something and said, Dad, here's just a little something to say. I appreciate you. I know that made dad happy. But you know, if we dads really want a happy Father's Day, we need to follow the instruction that is laid out right here. These are something that not just help us today. That candy bar, that card, that gift, it'll go for a few days. But as we read this psalm, it said all the days of thy life. You want something that will impact you and influence you all the days of your life? This 128th Psalm is there to do it. Make the teachings of this psalm a purpose in your heart. Would you do that this morning, sir? I pray you would.